Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Notice this, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Heavenly Father, help us as we go down through this portion of Scripture and just teach through it tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to get a heaven's perspective on this matter of materialism and money. I pray, Lord, that you would help us not to fall into one of the greatest sins of this culture, one of the greatest sins, it seems like, throughout history, throughout the times, ages of time, Lord. And I pray that you would protect us from that, Lord. May we seek out, Lord, a life of quiet simplicity and dedication and love to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think that most of the people that are my age or older, if they could sit down with some young couples and had an opportunity to talk about what I'm going to talk to you about, they would say a lot of the same things that I'm going to tell you tonight. I think that if there's an area as a young person that you ought to really pay heed to, it's this matter of not being overcome in your life by covetousness. What's one of the 40 biggest issues of the past 40 years? Well, I would, my dad used to say the religion of his time in the ministry, the main religion of his time in the ministry was the religion of materialism. I would call it the sin of greed. The Bible calls it covetousness. I want to see if I can help all of us. And I really just ask in the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart specifically about your situation. Husbands, wives, listen together. Some of you that are young and starting families, listen to me. I'm going to tell you, the longer I live, the more that I understand how much joy just comes from the simple things of life. Sometimes as a young person, and I understand it, I get it, you're starting out, man alive, like most people, you start with nothing. But the Bible says, by the way, did you notice he said that's what you're going to end with too? All right. You're going to start with nothing, you're going to end with nothing, okay? You came into this world with nothing, you're going out with nothing. You can line your caskets full of gold, and you know what? It'll stay right there in the ground. It's not going to follow you to where you're going. But I think that there has been in this day and age such people become enamored with the idea of having things and needing to have things, and I'm not against that. I'm not against people having some things, and I think as long as you keep your life in balance and you understand and you don't fall in love with things, there's nothing wrong. Husband, you ought to buy yourself a wife something nice every once in a while just because you love her. You ought to just get her something nice. And I don't want to put you on a guilt trip if you went out and bought yourself a new gun or a new deer stand or a new bow or all of the important things really of life, new golf clubs. Those are necessities, food, raiment, golfing, hunting equipment. All of those things are good. And I really mean that. I will tell you this. I never feel I'm always happy when I see somebody in our church if they're able to get something and upgrade an area. I really mean that. I've never in my heart ever looked down on that or got on a high horse about it or get jealous about it or anything like that. I always like it when I see, as long as people are doing it right, as long as they're using sense. Now, it would bother me, and I don't know your personal finances, don't need to know, but it'd bother me if you're going into a bunch of debt to have stuff because you're circumventing the laws of this book and you're causing yourself a bunch of future heartache. But I will tell you this, and young people, please listen to me. You're going to find out, you know, all that stuff that glitters, and boy, you can't be happy unless you get it. You throw away everything to go get that, and you're going to find out it didn't bring you happiness anyway. And I really mean this. I just keep coming back to this thought over and over and over again. Simplify, 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 simplify. Keep your life simple. Keep your life untangled. Don't get yourself in all kinds of debt and mess. And I mean, every aspect. My spiritual life is a very simple thing. My walk with God is very simple. Let me have you come and we'll spend 6 weeks talking about all the things that are involved in a walk with. No, not with me. I just think, you know what? We make things more complicated most of the time than they really need to be. Don't complicate your wife. One of the things you ought to stop and say as a young couple before you make a decision or go into something, you ought to really look at your life and say, how is this going to complicate our life? How much stress is this going to bring into our life? Is all of this really worth it? Are we gonna 2 years from now sit back and look at this and say, why did we do that? And so I think that what we're seeing is this. We're seeing a world that's gone crazy because they're so unhappy, and so they're turning to all kinds of things to try to find happiness. And really, folks, the desire for material things and the desire for accumulating things and having things, it's just really another kind of drug. I mean, it really is. People almost shop like some people smoke. Some people shop like some people smoke weed. They do it to forget their problems for a while. It gives them a little buzz. It makes them feel good. They found something bright and shiny, and they got to have it, and they buy it, and they go home, and they sit there, and they look at it and feel it for a while, and then a day later, it's sitting somewhere, and then they got to go get something else. It's almost like an addiction with some people. And listen to me very carefully tonight, because I all through the Word of God, we could literally go from stories in Genesis to Revelation, and we could just, there's so much in the Bible about the sin of covetousness and warning us against it. There's so many Bible illustrations about it. But as I studied and prepared for this, everything seemed to be so perfectly summarized for us right here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that I said, I'm going to keep this message simple tonight. I'm not going to run you from Genesis to... I'm going to show you in this portion of Scripture, God gives such a clear warning in this idea of contentment versus covetousness. Now, let me say this. You need to work at being a content Christian. To be content, that's a good thing. If you're not content, you're covetous. And the only cure for covetousness is to learn what contentment is. And so be very careful. Keep your life uncomplicated. Keep your life as simple as possible. Simplify your finances. Simplify your schedule. Simplify your walk with God. Simplify your relationships. Keep things as simple as possible, and you'll be so glad down the road that you did this. Now, there are several things I want to point out. How does this fall into the category of the 40 biggest issues? Folks, we have seen greed and covetousness and materialism reach levels that our great-grandfathers would never be able to comprehend. What they were happy with in life would be considered by most people laughable in this day and age. They would mock and make fun of the way that most of our great-grandparents lived. However, great-grandma and great-grandpa were pretty happy people. They didn't carry a lot of the... By the way, they weren't on drugs. They didn't have to go get all these pills to get through every day. A pill to get up and a pill to go to sleep and a pill to keep going. And you know what? They kept their lives simple. Laugh at them if you want to. Call them just old country bumpkins if you want to. But they were pretty happy people. And so in this day, as a matter of fact, the 1980s, are referred to still in this context, the decade of greed, the decade of greed. And so certainly during the last 40 years, we've seen people become so enamored. I've watched the culture decide the worth of people based on their possessions. People strive so hard to have things. Why? Because they think if they have something, enough things, they're finally going to be somebody. Well, let me tell you something. You are somebody, and what you have or don't have doesn't have a thing to do with them. If you're saved, you're a child of God. That makes you somebody. And so the idea that I've got to get a certain amount of things, I've got to drive a certain car. Young people, are you listening to me? So we've got this. Remember Andre Agassi? Is it Andre Agassi? And he made all that money off endorsing cameras by saying, what does he say about image? Image is everything. I think that was their slogan. Image is everything. And people are more worried about building an image than developing character. They want to build a persona. Well, now watch this. I'm going to help you if you'll let me help you. And I don't care what kind of clothes you buy. You can go buy whatever you want to go buy. But if I buy a certain style of shirt, then that makes me better than the person that buys a shirt at Walmart. If I get a certain brand name across the front, somehow now I'm this and everybody else is this. No, you're a ding dong. You just paid three times what you should have for a shirt. Now, if you want to go buy one on sale and that makes you happy, I'm not going to throw a fit about it. I think you ought to make sure, I mean this, but some of you ought to do your homework a little bit here. Some of you letting your bodies be billboards for companies that if you would investigate them a little bit, there's nothing that Christians ought to have anything to do with. I mean, I feel the devil when I walk into some of those clothing stores by the pictures and by the atmosphere and all that. I mean, I don't even have to walk in. I just walk by them and feel it. And yet you want to advertise, walk around and that, but you don't understand, preacher, I'm cool if I do. Okay, you're cool. All right, good for you. But you're going to get caught. And listen, you're getting caught up in some things. You know what? It doesn't matter. Listen, I drove in Bible college in 1970 Ford Pinto. Amen. Little two-door Ford Pinto. Brakes didn't work, but we used the emergency brake, you know. Starter didn't work, so I had to park up at Hammond in the parking garage at the top so we could get it running down the ramp so we could pop the clutch and get it going, you know. Can I tell you this? I drive a nicer vehicle now than I did then, but it doesn't make me any different of a person or any better of a person because I drive a little newer Jeep than when I drove a Pinto. And you got to get off that. Okay? We don't assign, and God doesn't assign worth to people based on what they have. But we get caught up in this. We've got to keep up with the Joneses, you know. So-and-so got this. Well, all of a sudden, we get a desire to have it. And we, you know, here's the thing. If you're not careful, oh, if I just had this, I'd be happy. No, honestly, if I could just have this, I'd get happy. So we pray and we work and we get it. Okay, then are you happy? Are we done yet? No, then it's, well, if I just had this. And if I just had this, well, where does it ever end? Have you ever reached a point? Come on, I'm talking 50, 60, 70 year olds. Have you reached a point yet where you just lean back in your chair and just say, thank you, God, for what I have and not drive myself crazy about what I don't? And so the Bible's very good about teaching us some things here. I want to warn you against this. Boy, I heard something, and absolutely, there's some things that I almost wish I didn't hear. And I don't hear a lot. But when I hear things like this, it has such a profound effect on this preacher that it almost gets me off my game. But literally, a story just broke my heart. It was a young lady that come up through our school, and didn't just come up through our school, was born here, raised here, everything. And all through her high school years, I watched her make wonderful decisions for God and decisions to serve the Lord. And I mean, from the time she was in seventh grade, she's telling me she's going to go to Bible college and all this. And a lot of her family outside of this church began to pressure her about how she was wasting her life going to Bible college and wasting her life serving the Lord and not to go that direction. Some of her family began to take her to the hospital with them. They worked as nurses and began to try to lure her that direction, even though she'd made a commitment to go 2 years to Bible college. And one of the ladies in the church went to talk to her and said, listen, what are you going to do after you graduate? And she looked at her and did this. I'm going for the money. Just like that. I'm going for the money. And somebody sat there and talked her into not going to Bible college because making money is more important than going and serving the Lord. No, it's not. You can spend, and I'm not against you going and getting a degree. I'm not against you going and getting a good job. But I'm going to tell you something. If that becomes the motivation of your life, it will get you off track. And by the way, it's gotten this young lady off track spiritually. Now pay attention to what I have to say. I'm going to try to rescue some of you young people. They're just too enamored with things. Okay, you're too enamored with things. Me and my wife, we raised our kids, and we raised them frugally. Most of the clothes that our kids wore the whole time they were growing up came from garage sales. I don't apologize that. Goodwill's a good place to shop. Okay, I've never felt like a second-class citizen for doing that, for saying that. Most of the suits that I've owned in my life are used suits. I'm just telling you. I'm just saying this. You know what? I'm not worried about keeping up with anybody. I think you can buy things smartly and still look very, very presentable and very nice and dress nice. And I just think you ought to be wise doing it. I don't think I've ever paid full retail for any of my dress clothes. Now I shop for my clothes. Okay, and some of you men don't do that. And I'm not even saying you should. I'm just saying it's just me. I know what I want to wear and I know what I like. And my wife just lets me buy my clothes, and I let her buy her clothes, and it works out real great. So, but I mean, I go into a store to this day. You know what I do? I go to a clothing store. I go right back to the very back corner and look for the clearance rack. And if it's not on that rack, then God didn't have something in that store for me, and I'm not going to go pay retail for anything. I'm just saying, you know what? Don't need the biggest and the best and the flashiest and the whatever. Don't need that stuff. Just keep your life simple. Let me give you some truths that just jump out of the scriptures here, and I think that it'll help you. Number one, great gain is not always an indicator of godliness. Great gain is not always an indicator of godliness. First thing that God does in this portion of scripture through Paul is warn us that there are going to be people that teach something that is false. They teach in verse number 5, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. There's some groups of Christians that preach what they call a prosperity gospel, prosperity Christianity. And in their interpretation of the scripture, you know that you're right with God if you are prospering financially. If you know you're right with God, if you are right with God, then God's going to give you all kinds of things, and that is evidence of the blessings of God in your life. Well, I always like to go back to Revelation. There's two different letters written to two different churches. One of those churches were a fantastic church that was complimented by God. In Revelation 2 and verse 9, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Jesus Christ wrote a letter to a church, the church of Smyrna, and he said this, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, and then in parentheses, but thou art rich. And then he wrote later in the last letter in Revelation chapter 3 to a church of Laodicea, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so here's one church that thought that they were righteous and right because they had a lot of things. And God says, I look at you spiritually, you're a mess. You're bankrupt spiritually. And God looks at a church that most people look at and see, a very poor church, in poverty. And he said, you know what, you're rich. Some of the most godly people I've ever met in my life have not been people that's had many things. They don't live in a super nice house. They don't drive super nice cars. They wear hand-me-downs. But you know what? They walk with God. They love God. They read their Bible. They sacrifice. They serve. Don't get enamored with things. You see, materialism is no evidence of godliness. I'm not saying you can't have some things and still be a godly person. I know some Christian businessmen that God has blessed with some wealth, and they're some of the most godly men I've ever met in my life. But you know what? They do not serve that money. They use that money to serve the Lord. And because of that, God continues to bless them. But don't fall into this prosperity gospel, prosperity Christianity. Matter of fact, the Bible says if there's somebody that goes around preaching this, supposing that gain is equal to godliness, you ought to withdraw yourself from that, those people. But the Bible goes on in verse number 6 to say this. Number 2, godliness with contentment is always great gain. Godliness with contentment is always great gain. So what is great gain? Well, if you live a godly life, and with that godliness, you learn contentment, then you know what? You've gained something very, very, very precious in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, you're not going to spend your life running after the things of this world and working to try to have more things and more things. You're going to be focused on serving the Lord and on reaching souls and on serving in the church. And that's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so you keep your priorities right. I'm going to live a godly life. I'm going to live a content life. And you know what? Godliness mixed with contentment is great gain. So the person who has the most, you can't tell by driving by their house, because you can't measure godliness and you can't measure contentment. But if you find somebody that has the mixture of godliness and contentment, I guarantee you, you're talking to a rich person. A rich person, because they have something some people never do find in life. So great gain is not always an indicator of godliness, but godliness with contentment is always an indicator of great gain. Now, let me carry on and point out something else. Number 3, greed. Let's talk about greed for a little. What is greed, preacher? Give me a good definition of greed or covetousness. Greed, very simply put, is the love of money or the love of what money can buy. I want to be very plain about this. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So God's not condemning having something, having money, or having some materialistic things. God's saying this: if you've fallen in love with those things, then you know what? That is the root of all evil. That's what materialism is. Preacher, what is covetousness? What is greed? What is materialism? Materialism is when somebody becomes so in love with money or the things that money will buy that that becomes the biggest thing in their life. And so protect yourself against that. Protect yourself always against that. When we used to get a Sunday paper, we used to for a while had one delivered. Let me tell you one of the best things you can do with that Sunday paper. You can open it up to the middle where all those ads are, and you can take them all and you can walk right over the trash and put them in the trash. That's one of the best things that you can do with them. Now, if you're specifically already prayed about and decided to buy something and you want to look for it to sell, that's fine. But I'm telling you, you didn't want anything on Sunday morning when you woke up. But by the time you flip through all those pages on Sunday afternoon, you've got a list of 8 or 10 things that you've just got to have now. If you'd have never seen them, you wouldn't have wanted them. I don't understand window shopping. First of all, we replaced the windows in our house several years ago. We don't need windows, so I don't really understand window shopping. But I think too many times window shopping is just, watch this, it's just greed practice. It's just greed practice. I'm trying to help some of you. Well, we're not going to go buy. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm just going to go look. Well, if you go look, you're going to find something you want to buy. Let me share something with you. If I stay on the Ross property over there and I don't go to town, I don't spend anything that day. If I don't stay on the Ross property and I go to town, I tend to spend something that day, you know. And so me and my wife reach a compromise every Thursday morning, or most Thursday mornings. We go to Terre Haute and we go get breakfast. I haven't been able to find a date night. We've never been able to figure that one out. So we do a date breakfast and that's what we do. We used to be like IHOP, that was it. That's all we went to. But all of a sudden, we're branching out of late. We're trying new places. And I'm on this kick with Cracker Barrel all of a sudden. And I'll tell you why. Have you had their pancakes? Oh, my goodness sakes. I mean, Cracker Barrel pancakes are better than International House of Pancakes pancakes. Maybe because they're American pancakes instead of international pancakes. American. I want red, white, and blue pancakes is what I want. International. One world government. That's where the Antichrist is going to come from. Right out of IHOP. No, I'm not interested in that stuff. I've been on this kick, man, with Cracker Barrel pancakes. Man, they'll bring you three of them. You can only eat about two, but they bring you three. And it's fun trying to eat the third one. It is. And then they bring you these little bottles of syrup, and they're hot. I mean, they're so hot you can hardly pick them. Listen, you're wasting your time putting cold syrup on hot pancakes. That's ridiculous. Matter of fact, that's beyond foolishness. It's really over into sinfulness. It's silliness. You're wasting an awful good thing. And so I don't know what it is, but anyway, so we go to Terre Haute. But you know what? We'll go to Terre Haute, and then I'll say, what do we need to pick up? Where do we need to go? And she's got a list of things she wants to get, and we go in there, and we go and get those things, and we get back to the Ross place. And we're good for a week. Hey, we're good for a week. You don't need to run to town all the time. Come on, folks. Are you getting your needle fix every day? I'm trying to help some of you. Literally, you're getting your fix. You know, you got to run to every store, look at everything. And I mean, you know, after 433 pairs of shoes, really? You found another one? Really? Where's Lynette at? I'm looking for Lynette. She's not here, is she? Have her listen to this. All right? I'm trying to help Brother John out. She's about to break bankrupt you, isn't she? Yeah, so. But, yeah, you know, it used to be when you go buy something, it was a treat. Now it becomes a way of life. You can stop at the gas station and just buy gas. That's a novel idea. But you can just go buy gas. You don't have to leave out there with anything else. You can just go in, pay for the gas, leave. Not pay $2.50 for a monster drink that's going to destroy your health. You know, you can use some sense. You can use some sense. Now, folks, listen to me. And again, I'm not against you getting things. You're going to see me every once in a while driving around with a Dr. Pepper in my hand, okay? But I'm just saying, be careful. Be careful. So many families and young people, some of you are already building habits of life that's going to cause you so much financial problem in your adult life. You know what? Learn contentment. The Bible says this. Let's not skip that verse. In verse number 7 and 8, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. If God is meeting your needs, and food and raiment is the basic needs of a human being. When I study the word raiment, I think it's talking about clothes, but it's talking about protection, it's talking about shelter. If you have food, clothes, and shelter, you know what? You have the basic things that you need in life. Everything beyond that is just God's extraordinary blessing and generosity upon us. It really is. And we are, watch this, we're a spoiled bunch of kids. God's been way so good to us Americans, far beyond what we deserve. Some of the poorest Americans, we call them poor, and yet you go to a third world country if you've ever been, and you find out people that we would say is poor in this country live like kings compared to people in third world countries. And so be content with that. Don't let the devil always stir up in your heart the spirit of covetousness. You have to fight against that by asking God to give you the spirit of contentment. Don't go places. Don't look at things. It's just going to constantly stir up your need to have something. Be content and happy with what you do have. Why? Because of this. The love of money, verse number 10, let's get there. Greed is the root. Greed is the love of money, or the love of what money can buy, and greed is the root of all evil. For the love of money, not money, not materialistic possessions, but the love of those things. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, we ought to just underline that, draw some arrows to it, and let it scare us for a while. Because if we allow that to become depictive of our heart and of our mind and who we have become, if our life and our happiness is defined by how many things we can get or how many things we can have or how many things we can buy, then we have opened ourselves up, the Bible says, to all kinds of potential evil, because the root is the part of the plant that you don't see. A lot of the things that we see, most of the things we see growing, you don't see the roots, they're underground. But a lot of our problems that we see, if we get down to where the root is and lay an axe to the root, if we take care of covetousness, it would take care of a lot of other problems in our life. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, greed opens a Pandora's box full of problems in our life. If you get somebody, notice verse number 9, but they that, and I always emphasize this little phrase because it's important, but they that will be rich. There's some folks I may be talking to some of you young people, and you know what? You've already decided you're 14, 15, 16, whatever, but you've already decided and determined, you know what? No matter what I have to do, no matter what decisions I have to make, I'm going to tell you something. I am going to have certain things. I am going to live in a certain type of house. I'm going to make certain kind of money. I am not going to live poor. I'm not going to live like my parents did. I'm going to have some, and you've made up your mind. I will be rich. You've already made that priority one. In your life, whatever you have to lay aside, whatever you have to turn your back on, you're going to have the things that you've always wanted, you've always desired. All right, let's take a look at your future. Here it is. But they that will be rich fall into temptation or testings and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, folks, the Bible's just given you your future in a nutshell. You get somebody enamored with money and enamored with things. You know, I choose the money. I choose the money. You know what? Let me predict your future. Okay? You're going to fall into a lot of testings and you're going to fall into a lot of snares. You're going to go into many foolish and hurtful lusts. You're going to drown in destruction and perdition. Notice what it says here, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the... You're going to err from the faith. You're going to pierce yourself through with many sorrows. That's what verse 10 says. Now, there's a list for you. Greed opens a Pandora's box of problems. Somebody that is greedy by nature will fall into many temptations and testings. You become a very easy target for temptation. You're going to fall into a lot of snares. People's going to be able to trick you pretty easily, because you know what? You're always looking for that get-rich-quick scheme. Folks, I've known men my age that when they were in their 20s fell into this trap, and they're still in their 20s. Or they're still into this trap. They're not in their 20s. They're still in this trap. But in their 20s, they were coming to you about talking about, hey, you gotta hear about this deal, man. Hey, you know what? You ought to invest in this. You know, they're always looking for that how-can-I-get-rich-quick thing. And so they invest in this and they lose it. And then they go back to this and they try to get it. And then they found this thing and they found this thing. And hey, you know what? Here's what the Bible says. Get up and go to work. Go to work every day. Okay? You'll appreciate what you get. Stop trying to find some get-rich-quick scheme. You know, folks, the biggest scam in the world is a lottery. Biggest scam in the world is a lottery. And I watch people... You know, as I'm trying to just pay for my gas, I feel like I got to go to a casino to pay for my gas. I just want to pay for my gas. I want to pay for my fuel. I've got four people in line saying, I'll take a, and then, you know, I don't know the names of all of them. What do you play, Nathan? What are some of the names? Pick four. I need a pick four and a Powerball and whatever else he plays, and it's sad because I watch him and I look at him, and they do that, and don't get mad at me, but then they buy their cigarettes, and then they buy their stuff, and then I watch them and they go out and they get into a ratty car, and I look at their kids and they don't have stuff, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? You know, but they're gonna hit it big one of these days. Well, somebody's got to win, yeah, and a million upon million people's got to lose every week. But you know, here it is. I will be rich. I'm going to figure it out somehow. I'm going to get it. Someone's going to, you know what, folks, listen to me. It's good for us to be dependent upon the Lord. I mean that with all my heart. It's not a bad thing. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And it's good for us to depend on the Lord. There's a wonderful verse, and I've shown it to you, and it's just come to mind, but I want you to go over to Proverbs chapter 30, if you will, and I've referenced this verse in my ministry several times and tried to teach it and the importance of it. But here's a little wonderful verse. When you listen to one of the wisest men that ever lived, God used him to write the Proverbs here. And let's see if I can find this here. In Proverbs chapter 30, in verse number 7, read this. Read this along with me as I read it out loud. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Watch this. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Now watch this. This is this wise man's prayer to God. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. And here a man says, Lord, I don't want to be live in poverty. I'd ask that you not give me poverty. And I ask you, though, not to give me riches. Now, he gives the explanation for that in verse number 9. Lest I be full and deny thee, if I have too much, I'm going to forget you, Lord. I'm going to deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of my God in vain. He said, Lord, I don't want to be so broke that I'm tempted to do something wrong to provide for my family, and I don't want to become bitter in my heart and potentially blasphemous to you, so please don't put me in that stage. But at the same time, Lord, don't give me riches. Because I'm worried, watch this, I'm worried that I might not be dependent upon you. I'm worried that I might not need you or understand how much I need you. If you study the entire history of Israel, Israel goes through times where they are afflicted, or they go through times of despair or famine, or they're taken over by some other power. And you know what? During those times, man, they seek God's face and they get right and they have revival, and then God rescues them, and then God begins to prosper them because they are living right. And as soon as the prosperity gets to be too much, next thing you know, they're off chasing false gods again. And there's a good lesson for us there. There's something that the Bible teaches us there is, you know what, it's good for. If I asked you, you know, how are we doing financially? And you look at me and you are honest and you say, preacher, you know, overall okay, but there's times we struggle. You know what, can I say this? That's probably a good place to be. Yeah. Well, no, I just want never to struggle. I know. But if we never struggle, we'd never pray. If we never struggle, we'd never pray. One of the things that Jesus taught us to pray and told us to pray when he was teaching his disciples to pray is, give us this day our daily bread. He wanted us to stay dependent on him. He wanted us to be able to have to come to him for some of our daily needs. And so I would pray that prayer. I think that that is a pretty wise man there that wrote that. And I'd say, Lord, you know what? I don't want to not have anything where I'd be tempted to steal in order to feed my family, or it'd become a spiritual problem in my life where I'd start becoming bitter against you. But God, please, on the other hand, don't give me so much that I'd forget you, that I don't need to get on my knees and ask you to help us and to provide for us. And so that's really a good place to live, whether or not it feels like it or not. Preacher, I'm struggling, and we're in our 20s and we're struggling. You know, what can I look forward to in my 30s? Probably still struggling. Well, tell me how the 40s are going to be. You're going to struggle some in your 40s, all right? Well, what about the 50s? You're going to struggle. What about retirement? What's that? Retirement? I don't know. I don't know. You pray for the rapture, I guess, you know. but you know what you do? Watch this. You get up every day and you're thankful for what you have. And you walk around whatever place God's allowed you to have, and you touch the walls and you touch the house and you say, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you, God. And you go out there and you close your eyes, say a quick prayer, and turn the key. And if the car starts, you say, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I think I'm going to get to the next place now, you know. And you just live a life dependent on him. Listen, it's not a bad way to live. It's not a bad way to live. Well, you can say all you want to, but I'm going to tell you what. I am not living like my parents lived, and I am not going to live on nothing, and I'm going to have some things. Yeah, you are. You're going to have temptations and snares and lusts and destruction and perdition, and you'll probably err from the faith, and the Bible says you'll be pierced through with many sorrows. I don't know if that's worth spending your life chasing the almighty buck. Say, preacher, what are we supposed to follow after other than those things? Verse number 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let's be more concerned about developing the spiritual attributes that we need in our life in order to serve the Lord and accumulating those things than we are worried about accumulating things that are one of these days just going to burn up and be destroyed and be gone. And so I want to encourage some of you. Listen, if you're struggling, that is not God's punishment in your life. Watch this. That is God's gift in your life. It really is. Because during those times of struggle, it makes you have to go to God and makes you have to become dependent upon Him. If you have a desire for something and you feel like it's justified and you can pray for it and ask for it before God and you go and do that and He gives it to you, you know what? He likes spoiling His children from time to time, and that's okay. I like spoiling my kids. Hey, I thought that they weren't supposed to cost you much of anything once they got moved and out of the house and all of that. Well, I was living in La La Land, wasn't I? Was I living in La La Land? Yeah. I told you this, but me and Tabitha still have a joint bank account at Bloomfield State Bank up here. And she's got a little card in California because of all the technology, you know. And I don't put in a lot, but every once in a while I'll get to feeling sorry for the poor thing, you know. And you know, I know that at AJ, he's okay, but he ain't ever taken care of that girl like this guy took care of that girl. I can tell you that right now. And I'll be feeling sorry for the poor little pathetic thing, and I'll go in there every once in a while, and I'll put $100 or a couple $100 in her account, and I'll text her, and I'll say, hey, I just put $200 in your account. And I get the statement still at my house, and usually there's like 17 cents in the accounts, you know. And if I put $100 in it, about 3 days later, there's 17 cents in the account, you know. And I can't do that all the time. I don't. I probably put some money in that account maybe, okay, the times my wife knows about, maybe about three or four times this year. But everyone, you know why I do that if I can? Because she's my baby, that's why. Because she's my kid. Because she's my child. Because she's out there knocking herself out trying to serve the Lord. Because, you know what, she's pleasing us and she's pleasing God. And you know what I found out? If I am human with all my frailties and all my failures and my sinful nature, my carnality, if I still have enough heart to want to do that for one of my kids, don't you think God in heaven looks down and when He sees you really trying and He sees you really trying, and you know what? Nobody here is doing it right and doing it all right and being perfect, but you know, He sees a consistent effort by your part. You know what? Every once in a while, God just sneaks a little money or a little blessing into our account just to let us know, hey, I haven't forgot about you. And aren't you glad about that? I want to be dependent. You know what? I'm glad my daughter has a husband, but I hope she always still kind of needs a daddy. And I'm glad that you have a family, but don't ever forget that you still need a Heavenly Father. You need Him above everything. I mean, even if He gives you the best job in the world and you say, preacher, you know what? The honest truth is we don't have any financial worries. You still need a daddy. You still need a daddy. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, dear God, for Your blessing upon us. And Lord, I'm astounded by it. God's grace, God's goodness, God's generosity to Your children. I'm humbled to the point of sometimes being embarrassed at how good and how kind and generous You are to us. And Lord, You are a good Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that You'd help each and every one of us to seek out the principles and precepts of the Word of God, to be good stewards of everything that You do entrust to us. Lord, thank You for not just providing our needs, but for providing, because of Your great love for us, many of our wants. But help us, Lord, not to want too much. Help us not to want too much. And Lord, help us to be such that You can trust to give extra at times, not so that we can chase the dream of materialism or sacrifice every dollar to the God of materialism, but so that we could be a conduit in which we can be a blessing to others. There's so many needs, so many genuine needs, dear God. I was going through the prayer list this week, and literally, there's people that right now in our church family, I'm aware of a situation where people just honestly, when materialistically, they need some miracles. And I pray for them, dear God. I pray for them. Thank You for the opportunity that You give others of us from time to time to be a blessing and help. Talk to two of our college kids this week. And Lord, they need some miracles. Financially, they need some miracles. And Lord, but I wouldn't take that from them. I wouldn't rob them of that for anything in the world. Thank You, dear Lord, for putting us in situations from time to time where there's only one person that we can come to, and that's You. and our Heavenly Father. Thank you, dear Lord, for that closet time of prayer where we at times go to you and you alone with needs. Nobody else knows it. And yet you reward us openly. You answer those prayers. I pray, dear God, for the needs of your people. I pray, dear Lord, as this country continues to be mismanaged in a horrific way, dear God, I know that this area of finances is not going to get better. And so I pray, Lord, that you would teach your people how to live a happy and simple and content life. We pray these things in Jesus' name.